Like a copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible offered to you. Perhaps maybe you're not acquainted with the writings of God revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures, in the Bible, New Testament offered to you freely, without cost or without any obligation to you. You'd like to have one, please do feel free to come and ask for one. Who knows, but maybe you would get a pleasant surprise. Maybe God would reveal His loving kindness, which Bible says is better than life. Maybe reveal His forgiveness to you that you never even knew that you needed. But of course, truth of the matter is, we all do need, that is, the forgiveness of God. So the Bible, New Testament in particular, reveal that pathway to you. Pathway that is to forgiveness. How that you can be forgiven and be assured one day of a home in heaven. So offered to you, New Testament in its entirety, you would like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. Jesus, of course, Son of God, He's the one of whom, of course, the Bible is in the main, if not altogether, about. You know, He's Savior, Lord. He's Bible has many, many descriptions of Him. Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Fairest of 10,000. He's altogether lovely. But it's His ability that we want to speak to you of here this afternoon in Stafford Town. Because He is able, I tell you, to do what no other can. He's the only Savior, only appointed Savior sent into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Through the ability of the Savior of Jesus, not your ability, for you have none. Jesus has the ability to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And what all the religion in the world can do for you, and of course, what all the philosophers of men, and of course politicians likewise, cannot do for you. The ability lies in my Savior, in Jesus, the one of whom the gospel is all about. That's why it's good news, what the word gospel means, don't you know? And it's good news because it's about Jesus and it's about His supreme ability to save the worst and even the best of sinners. Bible, while you can read the words over and over again, it's repeated about the Savior, about the Lord Jesus Christ and His ability. For the which cause, the Bible says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I mean, what is there to be ashamed of in declaring and proclaiming the gospel of God's Son? I mean, what could be more natural than to be stood under God's heaven, stood upon His earth, breathing His air, and speaking about the wonderful things that God has done, is doing, and will do because of the ability, because Jesus is able to fulfill everything given to him by his Father. And of course, he has already accomplished his earthly work in coming into the world, dying, rising again from the dead, and returning again to heaven's glory, and soon to come again. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing to be ashamed of in the gospel, because it's God's power unto salvation for those, that is, who believe. Only for believers, not necessarily for religious people, not necessarily for churchgoers, but for believers, those who believe and trust in Jesus and what he has accomplished as a result of his divine ability. So he is able. Oh, he is more than able, I tell you, for the worst of you and the best of you. A very, very able Savior indeed. And of course, the Bible tells us he is also able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask of him. Oh, I tell you, friends, you know not what you're missing when you don't walk with Jesus, trust in Jesus. Elsewhere in the Bible it says, ye have not because ye ask not. Oh, that people would call upon the name of the Lord. Who knows but what he would do for you? Who knows but what he would deliver you from, save you from? What circumstances he would alter for your good and for your better. And no matter what you ask of him, no matter what you call upon him for, he is able, he has the ability to do exceedingly, abundantly more than you could ever ask of him. Why? Because his ability is divine. He's more than just a man, more than just a prophet, more than just a good teacher. He's the Son of God with power, and proved and demonstrated to be the Son of God with power as a result, a consequence of his resurrection from the dead. So able, friends, able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all, more than you could ever possibly ask of him. You see, in trusting in Jesus, in calling upon the name of the Lord, you open up heaven's treasure house, opened up to those, that is, who put their trust, who put their faith in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. But that treasure house, I do have to tell you, is closed to unbelief. You don't get anything out of God's treasure chest. You don't get anything unless you ask for it. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. Ask and it shall be given, Jesus says. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Oh, he is able, Jesus, because he is the Son of God and God the Son. And because, friends, he's the only mediator between God and men. There is no other good enough. Unlock the doors of heaven and let sinners like you and I in. Oh, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could possibly ever ask of him. Ask friends, seek him while he may be found. And who knows, but even today, heaven's door would be flung wide open to you, a welcome given to you, and God's treasures of joy and peace and hope and everlasting love and life bestowed upon you. He is able, I tell you. You suffer, you carry burdens, as it were, under afflictions that come upon all people in every day and every generation. Why bear it yourself? Why carry the burden alone? Bring it to Jesus in prayer. Bring it to God. Bring it to Jesus. For he is able to do exceeding abundantly more above all than you could possibly ask of him. Oh, for the want of calling, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved, and much, much more. All the blessings of God and of heaven poured out upon you for the want of asking. He is able, the Bible tells us, he is able to make grace abound towards you. Oh, grace, friends, grace is the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. You cannot merit God. You cannot merit salvation. You cannot merit anything from God by yourself. Only through the merits of Jesus, because he came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead. He is able to make grace, the grace of God, abound towards you. In fact, you don't get anything. Nothing at all from the hands of God, but through Jesus Christ. You must come that way, you see. He is the appointed way. I am the way, he says. But you come to Jesus, you call upon his name, and he has the ability. He is able to make grace abound towards you. Not just meager grace, not just bare grace, but for grace to abound towards you. The abounding forgiveness and love and kindness and compassion and mercy of God bestowed upon those who trust in and who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, wondrous grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound for wretches blind in sin, beggars, as it were, before God. Oh, dear friends, Jesus has the ability to make grace abound. Because, you see, the Father, Son honors the Father, and the Father honors the Son. And those who put their trust in the Son, in Jesus Christ, the Father loves and bestows his sovereign, free, merciful grace upon them. Grace, you see, is what you don't deserve. Grace is the last thing that you deserve. Some of you perhaps think to yourself that you would rather, it's justice, you say, that I need. Friends, that's the last thing that you need. That's the last thing that you need to be asking God for. It's grace that you need, not justice. If we were to be given justice, we would all of us be packed off to hell right this very moment if it were given to us. No, it's grace, friends. It's grace that you need. And Jesus has the ability, the supreme ability, I tell you, to make grace, the grace of God, the unmerited favor and kindness of God, abound towards you. Abundant grace. Abundant supplies of grace poured out upon you, poured into your heart. Oh, the wonderful, wonderful free grace of God bestowed upon those who trust in the ability of Jesus. His ability, not yours, because you have no ability. You have nothing that you can offer to, nothing that would cause God to smile upon you, accept you, approve of you. Only through grace, you see, the wonderful, wonderful free grace of God. Jesus has the ability that no other has to make grace abound towards you. And the Bible says that He is able. He is able, Jesus. He is able to succor the tempted. That is to support them and to help them. Those tempted by the ravages of sin. And is there not much temptation in these days in your society in which we live? How can a person possibly swim against the tide of wickedness, of evil, of uncleanness? Oh, it abounds in your society today, the madness, the insanity of sin. Surely, as the Bible says, in the sons of men, there is evil and madness. Madness, insanity. Surely you see, you recognize these things. How can a person ever possibly swim against the tide of growing wickedness in your society today? Well, Jesus has the ability for those, that is, who trust in Him, who believe in His name. He is able to succor, that is, to help those who are tempted. Those who are tempted to go with the flow, is it not what many do? Is that not what the majority of you do? That's why God, I think, He refers to human beings as being sheep, you know, because you just follow on like sheep. You do the wickedness, you do the unclean, you do the drunken, you do all the sinful, wicked things. Why? Not because it's good, but just simply because, well, everybody else is doing it. Huh? Everybody else is doing it. Young people start into drugs, smoking, cussing, swearing. Why do they do it? Because they want to keep up with their peers. They just follow on like silly old sheep. That's why God says, we all like sheep have gone astray, wandered our own pathway. How can a person, how can a man, a woman, how can a young person keep his way clean? How can a person stand against the tide of evil, of wickedness, of sin that abounds in your society today? I tell you, Jesus has the ability to succor, that is, to help, to strengthen, and to support those who are tempted to go down that pathway. Oh, but does it not take a man? Does it not take a woman? I don't mean the snowflakes that we see in our society today. I'm talking about real men. I'm talking about real women with principles in them, with fiber in their being, with steel in their backbone, you know, that are willing, are desiring of standing against the tide of evil, of wickedness and unbelief. But of course, how can a person possibly stand against such a flood tide of evil? I ask you, not without the ability of Jesus, but He has the ability, I tell you, or rather God tells you here in His Word, the Bible, the ability to succor those who are tempted, to enable them to stand against the flood of the enemy. Against the powers of darkness and against evil and wicked men who promote and yes, even legislate for such wickedness, things that ought not to be done. Oh, but Jesus, He has the ability, He has the ability to succor those who are tempted, put your trust in Jesus, that's the wise thing to do. He'll carry you, He'll support you, He'll succor you, He'll strengthen you, He'll enable you, because He has the ability like nobody else does. Put your trust in Jesus and you will be safe for time and for eternity. He came for poor, weak, impotent, powerless sinners. He came to save them, and He came to strengthen and support them. Jesus bring forgiveness to you, the grace of God to you. It will abound towards you, but not then just to leave you on your own and tell you to get on with it. No, He will be with you continually, always supporting, succoring, especially those who are being tempted. Oh, He has the ability, I tell you, the ability to save to the uttermost.
You're an idiot.
Sir, that's very offensive, sir. Shall I have you arrested? Should I have you arrested? That's hateful speech, sir.
Is it?
Yes. You're offensive, sir.
So are you.
Huh?
So are you.
The Word of God might be, sir. But then the Word of God's always offensive to wicked sinners such as you, to rebels against God and against heaven. How could it be any other? You see, God calls a man, calls a woman for what they are. It's the unbelief in your heart, sir. It's the enmity, it's the wickedness that lies in your heart. You hate God, that's your problem, sir. It's not me that's your problem. It's God that's your problem. You're a hater of God, sir. And you need to repent of it before you perish in your sin. So like I was saying, the ability of Jesus, I tell you, to save to the uttermost of your guilt, the uttermost of your rebellion, the uttermost of your sin, no matter how deep. Even this chap here who's just been expressing his enmity against God a moment or two ago, Abel, Jesus has the ability, I tell you, to save the worst of you and the best of you, should that is you repent, turn from your sin, turn from your unbelief, turn from your wickedness, and believe and trust in Jesus Christ in His supreme ability. I tell you, He has the ability, able to save to the uttermost all those, that is, who come to God through Him.
Repent, then
what?
So I repent, and then what?
And you believe, sir. You repent and you believe, you do both. But I can tell what's in your heart, sir. You're very disrespectful, and your attitude is one of contempt, sir. Contempt.
Who are you to judge? If God's the only one that can judge, who are you to judge?
I judge by His attitude.
But I see
what you're
saying
there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, it's God.
Yes, it is. God says, no. God says, judge righteous judgment.
Which is His to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Your attitude is contemptuous, sir. Contemptuous. And you will be shown the same contempt in that day if you don't repent and believe the gospel, sir. Yeah?
I'm not going to repent because nothing's going to happen.
Well, that's your problem then. Carry on.
I will.
God's got nothing for you. Unless you repent and believe the gospel, self-righteousness, contempt for God will be met with everlasting contempt in that day. I tell you, in your peril, friends, your peril, you express contempt for God. Repent, oh, repent, yes, a change of mind, a change of attitude, complete a revolution of the mind. Turning of the mind from the unbelief that expresses itself in contempt for God. And friends, turning to His Son Jesus Christ through Him alone.
Are you alright?
I'm fine. Why? What did you ask, madam? Do I not appear to be alright?
No, it's fine.
Oh, that man, you mean?
No, I don't know that.
Oh, sorry, alright.
I don't know.
Right, okay,
apart
right.
From He's a human being.
Right,
that's so. We all are.
Yes, yes.
So we're all human being.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
No matter what
are beneath. Sinful ones.
Between you and I am a Christian.
Right.
And I was brought up, my parents went to church, I believe, and I get a lot of comfort from it.
Right.
But unfortunately, but some people don't.
Yes.
That's their choice. They're a human being.
Yes, but they're not simply to be left to their own choice. Left to their own choice, they will all end up in the place that the Bible calls hell. That's why Jesus commands the gospel to be preached in all the world.
I know, you believe very strongly, like I do. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But not everybody does.
No, but they need to.
Yeah, but can I just say, one of Jesus' teachings was to actually love everybody, no matter what their beliefs. He loved sinners, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes, yes.
And the first thing to do, I feel, as a Christian, is to love every human being as a human being.
And what's the best expression of that love, would you say? How would I? All these people around us.
No,
please hear me. I've listened to you.
Okay.
I've listened to you. Now you listen to me. What would be the best expression of love to all these people around here today, who are perishing in their sin? What would be the best expression of love towards them?
And think of others before yourself.
And is that not what I'm doing? And teaching them what kind of wicked, evil sinners they are?
Yeah, but the thing is, should I just say, you may look upon some people as being, in your words, sinners, because they're not following the same path.
Well, that's what God says they are.
But should I tell you? A lot of people, even though they may not have Christian beliefs, they may do a lot of good.
No, God says there's none good.
I think he does.
No, Romans chapter 3, madam. There's none good, no, not even one.
What, if you don't believe?
Not even one.
Oh.
None righteous,
so,
not even
so
one.
The only way to encourage people to believe is to be gentle and kind.
There have been
some people that perhaps it might take them most of their life, but they're treated with kindness.
But what if they haven't? What if they haven't got? What if they haven't got the rest of their lives? What if some of these people die today? What if they die today? What are you doing, as a Christian lady? If there's people around you today and there's a danger of them dying today, what are you doing to help them?
I'm trying to. I help and save the children voluntarily.
That's a secular society. There's nothing Christian about that.
About what?
Save the children.
What?
That's an iniquitous society that creams money off of people who seek to give money to children, but it never gets to the children.
Well, I queried at a meeting, because I go in voluntary, and so do all the ladies who run the shop.
Yeah, but the CEOs aren't voluntary.
I did query at a meeting, because I thought, I'm standing here, I'm parking, I'm coming down. I'd like to know how much is actually getting to the children that need it.
Yes.
And I was told, and if they have lied...
Yes, as all men do.
I would be very disappointed.
Yes.
Because in my book, and in your book, no doubt, as a Christian, you don't lie. And I was told that 88p in every pound gets to where it's needed.
Right.
So, for me...
But that But what does that do for the souls of men, women, and children who are dying every day and going to hell every day? If you're a Christian, madam, you should be proclaiming the gospel to them. You should be telling them, repent and believe the gospel, because you're going to perish in your sin if you don't.
Both my parents are
You don't listen very well, do you, madam?
No.
You like to talk, but you don't like to listen.
I'm listening.
No, you're not.
I am replying to what you've said.
You're talking over me. Madam, I'm going to go on preaching the gospel. Nice talking to you.
Please do it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Should I just tell you, when I was walking up the town...
Yes, be quick.
What about that?
Yes.
I could hear the shouting.
Yes.
Right?
Good, I'm good, please.
No, that's encouraging.
But that's encouraging.
No, but the concern is, at the same point that you were shouting...
Yes.
There were a group of youths walking down the town. My initial thought...
Yes.
...was that one of these youths was shouting...
Yes.
...and they were in a group.
Yes.
And... I thought, you know, there's no. You can actually speak to people in a quieter way.
Have you ever been? Have you been born again, madam?
Have I been born again?
Yeah. Do you know what that means?
Once to a perfect.
Yeah, but have you been born twice? Have you been born again, madam? Madam, you're not listening. Have you been born again?
I don't want to be born. I've been born once.
Madam, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. I'm sorry. Like I say, folks, it's a good day. Good days, you know, for preaching the gospel. The gospel, Jesus says you must be born again. The only way that a man, a woman, can enter the kingdom of God is by being born again. You what, sir? I'm not, sir. Come and talk to me, sir. Come and talk to me. Why, they got warmed up today. Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man or woman be born again, he cannot, she cannot enter the kingdom of God. But it's Jesus Christ alone, who has the ability to cause a man or woman to be born again by the power of his resurrection from the dead, a living Savior with the ability, I tell you, to save to the uttermost of a man's guilt, of his shame, no matter how long you've been at it. And some of you, I guess a guy long while, you've been at the sin business since ever you were born. You've been at the sin business. Sin before you speak your first word even. No, friends, we're born in sin, conceived in sin, says God. Sinners by nature and sinners by practice. And why a person, a body, must needs be born again. Unless you're born again, says Jesus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. Because there's no other way. No other way, and no one else who has the ability to save to the uttermost. Clear your guilt to the uttermost. Your shame to the uttermost. Your sin to the uttermost. Able to save salvation, friends. That's what Jesus is about. And he is an able, very able Savior. Come to him. Trust in Jesus. That's the wise thing to do. Many people, you know, in our society today, like our dear friend talking to here, you know, they profess themselves to be Christians, churchgoers, you know, and well, maybe they see themselves as being good, kind, respectable people. But here's the word of God, friends. Here's the word of God, the word of Jesus himself, the able Savior. Ye must be born again. Why? Because there is none good, he says. None good. None that doeth good. None righteous. No, not even one, says God. Friends, there is no goodness in the human race. That's why the Savior, that's why Jesus had to come. Someone with the ability to save, the ability to change, to transform human nature. make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. Brand new. New heart, new start, new beginning. Saved to the uttermost. Reborn. Not enough just to be a church goer. Not enough to be what you call a respectable good person. That does not pass muster with God. Friends, ye must be born again. The words of the Savior. And He is able to do that which you cannot do yourself. And that is to renew your nature and restore you to God. Able to save to the uttermost. Able to keep you, the Bible says, from falling. That is, once you're in the kingdom of God, you must needs have someone with the ability to keep you from falling, from stumbling, falling away, that is, back into the world, back into the pathway of the devil, and of course, back into the pathway to perdition. There are many, of course, who stumble, who start off well, but a good beginning does not mean necessarily a good end. It's a good end that matters. It's how you finish that matters. Whether you finish in the hands, in the arms of the Savior, go on trusting right to the end. He that believes and is baptized and endures to the end, it's that person, of course, who enters heaven. So you see, you need someone with the ability to keep you from falling away, from falling back into unbelief, from falling along the pathway. And Jesus is the one, the only one, who has the ability to keep a person on that narrow pathway. The one that is, that leads to eternal life, keeps you from the pathway, the broad one that leads to eternal destruction. Able to keep you from falling, able to keep that commitment that a man or woman makes when they trust in Jesus, committing their souls to Him, committing their selves, their beings, their eternal destiny to the only Savior. Oh, He has the ability. You can trust Him. He is able to keep that which you commit to Him. That is your eternal soul's salvation. You must needs trust, believe in the one, the only one who has the ability to keep you and keep that commitment, able to subdue all things. But here's the question, friends. Do you believe that He is able, that He has the ability? Do you believe unto salvation? Trust in Him. It's one thing to know these things, one thing to be taught these things, one thing to read about these things, one thing to hear about these things on the street even. But friends, to know something and to do nothing about it, not to put your trust in the ability of the only one who can save you and keep you from perishing. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him means believing, not just, I believed, a long time ago, 20, 30, 50 years ago. But here's the question, are you still believing? Are you still trusting today? It's an ongoing believing, always believing, always trusting in Jesus. Through all the difficulties, all the afflictions, all the troubles that life has to throw at you, trusting Jesus in the midst of the storm, trusting Him always and forever. Oh, he is, I tell you, a wonderful Savior. And he has the ability, he has the power, divine power, and able, I tell you, to save all those who come to God through him, able to save to the uttermost. Put your trust in Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Turn, turn, turn. Why will ye die, saith the Lord, when there is life to be had, eternal, everlasting, life to be found in the Savior, the one who died and rose again from the dead, in order that men and women such as you might be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, for he will not always be to be found of you. Call upon him while he is near. Come so very close to you in the proclamation of the gospel. Friends, seek ye the Lord today while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Repentance is called, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance. For he, and return unto the Lord, your Maker, your God, the one whom you know exists just the same as I do. Not a man, not a woman born into this world that does not know that there is a God. For when a child is born, before it knows anything, knows that God is. You are, sir?
You're talking rubbish.
Is that your enmity? Is that your hatred coming out again, sir? Your hatred for God? Your hatred for God?
God doesn't exist.
Oh, you know different, sir. You know different, sir.
Evolution is not a lie.
There is no such thing as an atheist, sir.
Evolution.
No such thing as an atheist.
Yes, there is.
Yep. That's it. Evolution is a lie from the very pit of hell. As if you were not blinded enough, the devil hands you something else to blind you even further. A philosophy of men.
You want to get loud?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing scientific about it, sir. Nothing at all.
You've got a phone. That's science.
Sorry?
Your phone's science.
What's that got to do with it? How can you do science in an evolutionary world?
Quite easily.
How?
You
where do you get knowledge from? Where do you get knowledge from? Where do you get knowledge
books.
From? What?
Books.
Yeah. They go back to the beginning.
Yeah, evolution.
Your book.
So evolution gives you knowledge?
Yes.
How?
Because we evolved.
So evolution's a person then, eh?
No, evolution
you don't get,
is the knowledge.
You don't get knowledge out of matter, sir.
Well, do you believe in time?
Think.
I am thinking.
You don't get...
Wait, you
don't get knowledge out of matter. You don't get laws out of matter.
DNA,
you
do.
You don't. You don't.
Intelligent.
Use your mind, man. Use your mind. Put the mind into gear, guys. Not scientific. Unbelief, that's what it is. Repent and believe the gospel, sir. So, friends, there we go. We're done here. You like a copy of God's Word? Check these things out for yourself. It's not rocket science. It's quite simple. Child can understand, except you be converted and become a child and be converted. Jesus says, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Trust in Jesus. He has the ability. Come to him today. He bids you so to do. Like a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself and see that it is so. Read, meditate, study God's Word, wisdom from above, the ability to save to the uttermost. You'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you.